Today we're talking about the Beatitudes, which is the Latin word for blessing, because nine times in our passage today, Jesus pronounces blessings over others. Interestingly, although we normally end a service with a benediction, a pronouncement of God's blessing upon us, Jesus begins his sermon with these benedictions. This sends a powerful message that God's blessings are coming upon us. Well, I invite you to turn with me in your copies of God's Word to Matthew chapter 5, where I'll be reading verses 1 through 16. Matthew 5, starting in verse 1. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, that it gives its light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we again just pray that you would be with us in the hearing and the thinking upon and the meditating upon your word and your word preached. We pray that you'd open our hearts to receive what you are giving us even this morning. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, Pastor Tim Mackey, in a sermon on the Beatitudes, shows how Jesus' teaching in Matthew 5 draws upon a pre-existing template. Some of the Psalms, for example, begin with pronouncing blessings. Most famously is Psalm 1, which begins, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." This psalm begins with the word blessed or happy, which is the same word and the same way that Jesus begins his teaching in Matthew 5. In addition to Psalm 1, Mackey highlights a book from the Apocrypha called The Wisdom of Ben Sira. And I've provided a little passage from that book in your bulletin outline. Now, Mackey isn't holding this apocryphal text up for us to embrace, but he quotes this book to show a contrast between its teaching and the teaching of Jesus Christ. Interestingly, the author of this apocryphal book was a Jewish man from Jerusalem who was also named Jesus, Jesus ben Sira, or Jesus son of Sira. To avoid confusion, I'll just call him Ben Sira. He lived about 200 years before Jesus. And it's quite possible that Jesus and his contemporaries were familiar with Ben Sira and his writing. Well, listen as I read a passage from Ben Sira. "I can think of nine whom I would call blessed, and a tenth my tongue proclaims. A man who can rejoice in his children, a man who lives to see the downfall of his foes. Happy the man who lives with a sensible wife, and the one who does not plow with ox and ass together. Happy is the one who does not sin with the tongue, and the one who has not served an inferior. Happy is the one who finds a friend, and the one who speaks to attentive listeners. How great is the one who finds wisdom, but none is superior to the one who fears the Lord. It's from the Wisdom of Ben Sira, chapter 25. Well, there are some things that we can commend in Ben Sira's list. Some things are more neutral, and some things we might want to reconsider. Mackey highlights how overall the mood of Ben Sira's blessings favors the rich and powerful, but the overall mood of Jesus' blessings favor those who are in need. This morning, I essentially just want to run with Mackey's idea, but instead of just comparing these two lists as a whole, as Mackey does, I want to compare the lists point by point. Interestingly, Ben Sira says, I can think of nine whom I would call blessed. And Jesus also pronounces nine blessings. This enables us to go down the list point by point and compare the wisdom of Ben Sira to the wisdom of Jesus Christ. Now, while I think we can gain something from this comparison, I'm not trying to say that Jesus intended each one of his blessings as a commentary and correction of Ben Sira's blessings. That may be the case, but even if it isn't, comparing the words of these two men, Ben Sira and Jesus Christ, will bear fruit for us. Let's begin. Let's compare both of their first sayings. Ben Sira says, "Blessed is the man who can rejoice in his children." What does this mean? First, he may mean that this man may be rejoicing because the Lord has given him a family full of children. He is rich in the number of children he has. It also could mean that the blessed man is the man who has children he can be proud of. While other fathers have children who bring them shame, this man's children bring him honor, and so he can rejoice in them. Either way, whether we see this man as rich in number of children or rich in quality of children, he is described as being blessed because he is rich. Where does Jesus begin? He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Before we talk about what it means to be poor in spirit, let's just acknowledge that there's already a contrast between Ben Sira and Jesus Christ. Ben Sira says, "Blessed are the rich in children." And Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." There's a fundamental difference between these. Are the blessed ones those who have or those who have need? We'll come back to this. For now, let's talk about what it means to be poor in spirit. It's not abundantly clear, and commentaries reflect a wide range of different interpretations. I personally have to think about this every time I study the Beatitudes. Well, let me just run through a few of the possibilities. I'll list five. First, poor in spirit could mean materially poor. That is, those who are poor, not rich. To support this view, some point to Luke 6, in which Jesus simply says, "Blessed are the poor." But that's what he says in Luke, not in Matthew. So while it's true, we still must ask, what is Jesus saying here? Perhaps poor in spirit is not one thing, but two. And Jesus is describing those who are both poor and in the spirit, that is, poor Christians. Certainly, Jesus' blessing would apply to them. Even the poorest of people can share in the kingdom of heaven because membership in this kingdom is not a matter of silver or gold, but of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Beyond the materially poor, let's consider what I'll call the miserably poor. In this understanding, poor in spirit means that the person is so poor, it doesn't just affect them physically, but psychologically as well. It isn't just that your bank account is empty, it's that your hope account is empty too. You've given up because you have no hope left. Next, for a lack of better term, is what I'll call the metaphorically poor. We say of those who are bold, "You have a lot of spirit." If boldness is being rich in spirit, perhaps being poor in spirit is the opposite, that they lack boldness. They are timid, fearful, and weak. The metaphorically poor are those who are poor in power. They are weak and not strong. The fourth is the admittedly poor, those who are humble, not proud. Regardless of how much they have, a lot or a little, they do not take pride in it, and they regard it as nothing. Instead, they say, my life is but a vapor, here today and gone tomorrow, and I and all I possess are merely dust of the earth. Instead of looking to themselves and depending upon themselves for their provision, they look to God and they trust in Him. Next is the voluntarily poor, those who are generous, not selfish. They are poor because they don't store up their treasures where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. They give their earthly possessions and riches away. They may be called poor in this life, but they aren't looking for comfort in this life. Their hope is in the life to come. So poor in spirit can mean a lot of things. It can mean poor, hopeless, weak, humble, or generous. That's quite a wide range of possibilities. I want to give just one caution here. Sometimes we feel a temptation to moralize the Beatitudes. We say God's blessings come to those who are virtuous. If we adopt this perspective, then we will surely pick one of the last two options and say that poor in spirit means either being humble or generous. If we muster up these virtues, then we can attain God's blessings that He's promised. But this is based on an unfounded assumption that God's blessings come because of our virtue. Now, while it is true that God blesses us when we follow Him, it is also true that God blesses us simply because He's gracious. And He loves to bless people simply because they are in need. I think this is a big part of the Beatitudes. And so I prefer one of the first three meanings of poor in spirit. I think poor in spirit describes those who are somehow in hard circumstances, the poor, the hopeless, the weak. Because God's blessings can come by His grace and not just because of our virtue, the door to God's blessings are open to all. And I think that's the message Jesus is getting at here. Even the poor in spirit, these helpless, hopeless people who have no power, the rejects and outcasts, Jesus says the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. They may not have anything else, but in Christ, they have a share of the kingdom of God. In Christ, the poor in spirit are blessed. Ben Sira's blessing is based on what we have, a man who is rich in children and likely monetarily rich as well to provide for his family. But Jesus says, blessed rather are those who depend upon God's provision. It's not about us providing for our children and being honored by them. It's about us being God's children and receiving our provision from Him and honoring Him. Let's now compare their second blessings. Ben Sira says, blessed is the man who lives to see the downfall of his foes. This implies vindication. The blessed man is vindicated because his foes are all overthrown. Their schemes against him have all come to naught, and he is the last man standing. Now, I don't know about you, but this saying, blessed is the man who lives to see the downfall of his foes, it sounds a little dark to me. Like Ben Sira is saying the blessed man revels in seeing his foes fall. He delights in their destruction. Well, Jesus' second saying is this, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Ben Sira's blessing seems to be for those who are strong enough to endure their enemies' attacks, or perhaps even overthrow their enemies themselves. But Jesus' blessing is not for those who are triumphing, but for those who are weeping. They may be weeping because of their enemies and their attacks, or a number of other reasons. Some have said they may be weeping because of their own sin, and their tears are tears of repentance. But again, let's not be too quick to moralize all the Beatitudes. Let's let Jesus come not just to the virtuous, but to the hurting as well, and offer His blessings to them as well. At any rate, Jesus' blessing is not just for the strong, but for the weak, not just for the one who has overcome his enemies, but for the one who is still in the midst of his hardship and grief. Ben Sira's third saying is this, blessed is the man who lives with a sensible wife. Just a few sentences later, Ben Sira will go on to say, from a woman, sin had its beginning, and because of her, we all die. Allow no outlet to water and no boldness of speech to an evil wife. If she does not go as you direct, separate her from yourself. While he praises the sensible wife, Ben-Sira is pretty hard on women in general. He pictures the blessed man as the strong man who puts his wife in her place and keeps her in her place. If she does not go as you direct, he says, separate her from yourself. He doesn't really give a whole lot of room for mercy. Ben-Sira doesn't counsel a man to help his wife, but to control her. Jesus' third saying, however, is this: blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. We often confuse being meek with being weak. Pastor and author Rick Warren, therefore, has said, meekness is not weakness, it is power under Christ's control. Sometimes we flex our muscles, whether literally or figuratively, trying to display our strength in a way that intimidates others so that we can try to get our way. Meekness, however, is a calm and quiet poise. It's knowing that true strength isn't given to us to bully others and get our way, but is given to us in order that we might serve others. Ben-Sira pictures the blessed man as the man who has his wife under his control, but Jesus pictures the blessed men and the blessed women as those who have themselves under control, or rather those who are under God's control. And Jesus says, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The earth won't be taken by bullies in the end. It will be given to the meek. Ben-Sira says, fourthly, blessed is the man who does not plow with ox and donkey together. I can only assume that this must mean a sign of poverty, this farmer cannot afford a full yoke of oxen, and so he has to use one ox and one donkey to do the work of two oxen. Furthermore, I assume that an ox and donkey will not be as an effective team as two oxen. So my best guess is that Ben-Sira is saying something along the lines of this: blessed is the man who is rich enough to afford two oxen, because his oxen will bring many returns upon his wealth. For Ben-Sira, the rich get richer. They increasingly can depend upon themselves and no one else. Jesus, however, says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Jesus says, blessed are those who realize they need something that they cannot provide for themselves. Go ahead and add more oxen to your team. You still won't be able to produce the crop of righteousness you really need. Righteousness comes not to those who are content with how righteous they are. Those are the self-righteous. Righteousness comes to those who know they're not good enough and know that they need God's help. Ben-Sira says, blessed are those who are rich enough to help themselves. But Jesus says, blessed are those who are needy enough to want help and seek it from God, because God will help them. To those who know they need righteousness apart from themselves, God gives it to them as a gift through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ben-Sira's fifth saying, blessed is the one who does not sin with the tongue. This is actually a good saying. In the book of James, God's word even says that the tongue is so hard to control that any person who is able to control his or her tongue would be able to attain perfection. Essentially, if you can tame your tongue, you can do anything. Well, anyone up for a challenge? If you're ambitious, try this. Try and tame your tongue. Jesus' fifth saying is this: blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Again, let me say, I don't know that Jesus is actually presenting his beatitudes, his blessings, as a one-to-one comparison with Ben-Sira. But if he was, this was ingenious. Finally, Ben-Sira has said something good, and yet Jesus' words still reveal even more truth and draw us even closer to God. Even better than not sinning with our tongues is using our tongues for others' good. It is offering others forgiveness when they sin against us. It is speaking words of mercy to others, words of kindness and grace, words that build others up and point them to God. So let us not focus merely on avoiding sin. We are called to so much more than not sinning. We are called to bless the whole world. And a lot of that comes from how we use our words. In addition to speaking our forgiveness and our love, we can use our words to speak of and share the good news of God's love and forgiveness. Let's consider Ben Sira's sixth statement. Blessed is the one who has not served an inferior. Instead of labeling this statement as not PC, meaning not politically correct, I want to label this statement as BC, meaning before Christ. You know, Christ really has changed our world for the better. And these changes haven't just affected the hearts of believers, but through believers, they have been worked into the very fabric of our world. There's a great book written by an Indian man who became a Christian, and he compares his own culture, largely deprived of the light of Christ, to other cultures that have had more of a Christian heritage. And he traces back so many positive traits that he sees in these Christian or once Christian countries to their shared Christian origins. For example, he said he came across a family in India with a significantly sick child. Their plan to deal with the child's sickness was to stop feeding the child and to let the child die. This is shocking, not just to us in the church, but to most Westerners, because our Christian heritage has taught us that the sick are not to be abandoned, but to be cared for. This is a Christian contribution to our world. Ben Sira says, blessed is the one who has not served an inferior. This is a statement that has deprived the light of Christ. This is the exact opposite of what Christ taught. He taught that the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. What a difference. He says that God serves others. That God stooped down to come from heaven to earth for this very purpose, to serve his inferiors, us. Well, Jesus' sixth statement is this: blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The pure in heart are not those who are looking down on others as inferiors. The pure in heart are not those who take pride in not serving others. The pure in heart don't see themselves as the superior ones, but they see God as their superior, and they see themselves as his servants. So while Ben Sira's blessed one is looking down on others with contempt, and so he does not see God who is on high, but Jesus' blessed ones, the pure in heart, they are on their knees as servants, and they are looking up to God with reverential respect, and so they do see God. Ben Sira's seventh statement is, blessed is the one who finds a friend. This reminds me of Psalm 133, which speaks of the goodness of brothers dwelling together in unity. It is good to have a friend, to have someone to depend upon, someone who cares for you, someone who is willing to help. Ben Sira is right. It is good to have a friend. Jesus' seventh statement takes us further. He says this: blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Jesus says that God not only calls us to friendship, but also to the work of making peace. We not only enjoy our friends, but we pursue our enemies and strive to make peace with them. Moreover, we're not just called to make peace with our enemies, but we're called to be peacemakers, striving to make peace between all enemies, even when we're just the third party on the outside looking in. Well, I love the blessing offered here. Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Of course, we are all sons and daughters of God by nature of our adoption. Merely by our faith, we are part of the family of God. But when we take up the work of being peacemakers, it is like we are taking up the family business. We've matured from infants in the faith to children in the faith, and now we are partners in the faith, working with God to accomplish his purposes in this world, making peace. Isn't this a good summary of God's work? He makes peace between us and himself, and then he makes peace between us and others. He's a peacemaker, and he calls us to this same work. If you're a Christian, it's our family business. Well, Ben Sira's eighth saying is this: blessed is the man who speaks to attentive listeners. I guess this means that you're important enough or perhaps intimidating enough that people pay attention when you talk. But Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, in this world, righteousness has its enemies. Some people love the darkness, and so they reject the light and try to snuff out the light. If you walk in the ways of righteousness, they may persecute you. So much for attentive listeners. Instead, Jesus promises active persecutors. Instead of being powerful and having people flock to our feet, Jesus says the righteous life will earn us enemies, and the power of others will be brought against us. But like the poor in spirit, the righteous sufferers of persecution are promised a share in the kingdom of heaven. We may not have wealth in this world, nor even health, nor power, nor freedom from persecution, but all these afflictions are momentary. And we know the kingdom of heaven will more than compensate us for everything we've faced for righteousness' sake. In the kingdom of heaven, we will be with the King of heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, and he will bring our hearts peace and joy, and we will delight in him forever. Number 9, Ben Sira says, how great is the one who finds wisdom. Yes, this is true. Wisdom is an invaluable gift of God. One thing I'll comment on here is how Ben Sira's praises are all in the singular. His blessings are all for the one or the man. There's a sense that Ben Sira believes God's blessings are for the elite few. But Jesus' blessings are all in the plural. His blessings are for all who are in need of God's help and for all who turn to him. Jesus' ninth statement is this: blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Finding wisdom is great, but we're called to more. We're called to embrace wisdom. Wisdom with a capital W, and never let him go. That is, we're called to embrace Jesus and follow him, even when that means the world will revile us and curse us, sling mud at us and beat us, imprison us, confiscate our property, infringe upon our rights, and take our lives. Nothing they do can stop us from following Jesus and reflecting his light into the world. And so Jesus says, follow me. Walk with me through persecution, and you will have trod the same path as many before you. And you will reach the same destination they reached and be rewarded with the same reward that they have received. Notice also the switch from the third person to the second person in this last beatitude. Jesus is emphasizing that his blessings are for all his followers, even for you who hear him today. You may or may not be poor in spirit or mourning or meek, but this last blessing is explicitly for you. Follow Jesus, and come hell or high water, he will see you through it all and lead you to heaven. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Recall how last week we considered Matthew's assessment that Jesus was the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9. He was the light that dawned upon dark Galilee, like how the sun dawns on the dark world as it rises over the horizon and shines upon us. Brunner says that if Jesus is like the sun in Matthew 4, than here in Matthew 5 when we are called to be the light of the world, that we are like the moon. We merely reflect the light of Christ back into the world. That's why in verse 16, when people see our good deeds, they don't praise us, they praise God, our Heavenly Father. And that's as it should be, because all our good deeds and everything good in us comes from Him. Ben Sira was a BC thinker, a before Christ thinker. His thoughts were deprived of the full light of Christ. But now, even through hearing Jesus' words this morning, the light of Christ is shining upon us. And His words have the power to transform us, to illuminate and even change the places where we are still BC thinkers, that we might reflect the wisdom of God, the grace of God, and the love of God, and spread His blessings throughout the world. Let's pray. Father, open our ears that we may truly hear Christ, and work in our hearts that we might delight in what we hear, that we might delight in His words of blessings and be blessed by them. In turn, we pray that we might reflect Your light all around us, that others might consider our works as good and give You the glory for the light reflected from us, the light that comes from You. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.